Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive. Today, we're going to get into a topic that has always fascinated me, and that's the prophets of ancient Israel.
Oh, yeah.
Now, every culture has its thing, right?
Right.
You know, you think about the Greeks and their incredible sculptures, or the German and their composers. But was prophetism just one of those things that ancient Israel was really good at, just another one of their cultural specialties?
Well, that's a great question. And the scholar Robert Vannoy really dives into that in this lecture that we're going to be discussing today. And one of the things that he points out is that it wasn't just that they were good at it, like it was a cultural talent or something like that. What really defined prophetism in ancient Israel was divine revelation, God directly communicating through these individuals.
Wow. Now that is a powerful concept, to think that for over 400 years, longer than the entire history of the United States, there was this continuous line of prophets speaking God's word.
Yeah, think about what it would have been like to live in a time like that.
I know, right? Can you imagine?
It's really hard to wrap your mind around it.
It is. And one of the things that really stood out to me in this lecture is that Vannoy uses this phrase, God's servants, to refer to the prophets. And that phrase just pops up again and again in the Old Testament.
Yeah, God's servants.
That's a powerful image, don't you think? It really shifts the perspective. A servant doesn't get to choose their tasks. They do what they're told.
Right.
And in this case, we're talking about speaking for God. That's a huge responsibility.
Absolutely. And you see that played out in different ways throughout the Old Testament. Like, for example, in 2 Kings, God talks about avenging the blood of my servants, the prophets. And then in other places like Jeremiah, you really get this sense of exasperation from God. Like, he sent his servants, the prophets, over and over again, but the people just wouldn't listen.
It's almost like a parent, you know, exasperated with their kids. How many times did I have to tell you? But let's talk about some of those specific prophets. You know, we often hear about these really vivid and dramatic callings that they received. What are some that really stand out to you?
Oh, gosh, there's so many. Isaiah, for example, had this incredible vision where he sees the Lord and he's totally overwhelmed by his own sinfulness. And boom, he's given this mission to speak God's words, even though he's warned that people won't want to hear it.
I can't even imagine having that kind of experience.
Yeah.
I mean, think about Jeremiah. He initially felt way too young and inexperienced for the job, but God basically told him, don't worry, I got this. It's like these prophets, they were chosen whether they felt ready or not.
Right. And then there's Ezekiel with his absolutely mind-blowing vision of God's throne chariot and that whole symbolic act of eating a scroll. A lot about powerful imagery.
Eating a scroll.
Yeah, that's something else, right? It sounds more like something out of Indiana Jones than a religious experience.
It does, but think about what it represents internalizing God's message, making it a part of you.
Right.
It's like saying, I'm so committed to this message, I'm going to consume it. So did all the prophets have these incredibly dramatic callings?
Well, that's an interesting point. Vannoy points out that not every prophet has their call explicitly spelled out in the Bible.
Okay, so what about those without a recorded call, like David, for example? How did they know they were speaking for God? I mean, could anyone just claim to be a prophet?
That's where it gets really fascinating. Vannoy uses this really interesting analogy in the book of Amos. He compares a true prophet speaking God's word to a lion roaring.
Okay.
You can't help but be afraid when you hear a lion roar, right? It's instinctive, it's primal. And in the same way, Vannoy argues that true prophets couldn't resist speaking God's word when they were commanded to do so.
It's like they were compelled by a force greater than themselves. And we actually see that play out in some of their lives. I'm thinking of Jeremiah again, who literally tried to stop prophesying, but he couldn't. He even says, but if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot.
Wow.
Talk about feeling trapped between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, that's intense.
It really highlights the sense of mission and responsibility that true prophets carried. They couldn't just ignore what they felt called to do. And it brings us to a really central point that Vannoy makes. The primary function of a prophet was to proclaim the word of God.
To be a mouthpiece for God.
Exactly. And that makes me wonder, how do we distinguish between true prophets and those who are just really good at public speaking, or those who maybe had another agenda?
That's a key question. And it's one that's still relevant today, right? How do we know if someone is truly speaking for a higher power?
Right. And Vannoy really dives into that. He examines what sets true prophets apart from false prophets.
And one of the key things he points out is that true prophets spoke God's words while false prophets spoke their own. And that distinction is really central to understanding the whole role of prophets in ancient Israel.
It's like that classic line, is it me a hawking or is it the Lord?
Exactly. And to help us understand this, Vannoy takes us to a few key passages in the Bible. Like in Deuteronomy, God promises to raise up a prophet like Moses, putting his words in this prophet's mouth. And then in Jeremiah, God reiterates that point, saying, I have put my words in your mouth. But then there's this other passage in Jeremiah where we get this contrast. False prophets, they speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord.
So it really boils down to the source of the message. True prophets are transmitting God's words, not their own ideas or opinions. But did the prophets use specific phrases or language to make that distinction clear?
Oh, they did. Vannoy highlights some great examples from Isaiah. This is the Lord has spoken. Thus has the Lord said to me, that which I have heard from the Lord.
There's such power and authority in those phrases. It's like they're saying, listen up, folks. This isn't just me riffing here. This is a direct message from the divine. But speaking God's word wasn't always sunshine and rainbows, was it? Especially when the message was about judgment or calling people to repentance. That couldn't have been easy.
You're right. Vannoy gives us some really poignant examples of the burden that prophets sometimes carried. Samuel, for instance, had to tell Saul that God had rejected him as king.
Oh, man.
Imagine having to deliver that news.
Talk about awkward. I mean, that must have been heartbreaking for both of them.
Absolutely. And then there's Balaam, who was hired to curse Israel, but was compelled to bless them instead.
Wow.
Can you imagine that internal struggle? Wanting to do one thing, but being forced to do the opposite?
It reminds me of that saying, man plans, God laughs.
Right.
And of course, there's Jonah, who tried to run away from his prophetic mission because he didn't like the message he had to deliver.
Classic Jonah.
Yeah.
But all of these examples really highlight this core point that Vannoy is making. There was a clear distinction in the prophet's mind between their own words and the word of God. They knew the difference.
It's almost like they had this internal compass, this inner voice guiding them toward truth, even when it was difficult or inconvenient. But how did they cultivate that inner awareness? Vannoy uses this term prophetic consciousness to describe what made these prophets tick. What exactly did he mean by that?
Well, it's a fascinating concept. He uses this term to describe this unique awareness that prophets possessed, this consciousness of the difference between their own thoughts and the words that God was speaking through them. They weren't just charismatic speakers or social reformers. They were individuals who were deeply aware of their role as conduits for God's message.
That makes me think about sources of inspiration in our own lives. How do we discern what's truly guiding us? What's shaping our thoughts and actions? Is it our own eco-societal pressures or something more? It can get pretty murky, especially in today's world where everyone seems to have their own truth.
It's so true. And that's why I think this idea of prophetic consciousness is so relevant even today, because it really deals down to discernment. How do we separate the wheat from the chaff, so to speak? How do we know what voices to trust?
Especially when we're bombarded with information from all sides, it's like we need to develop our own internal radar, our own sense of what rings true.
Exactly. And Vannoy suggests one way to do that is to go back to the source scripture. He reminds us that one of the primary ways the Holy Spirit works is through illuminating our understanding of scripture. So it's not just about passively reading the Bible. It's about actively engaging with it, asking questions, seeking the Spirit's guidance to help unlock its deeper meaning.
So it's like a conversation, a back and forth, not just absorbing information, but wrestling with it, trying to understand how it applies to our lives.
Yes. And that active engagement, that wrestling, could be so powerful because it helps us move beyond just taking things at face value and dig deeper into the heart of what's being said.
This makes me want to rethink my whole approach to Bible study. It's not just about getting through a certain number of chapters. It's about really grappling with the text and allowing it to challenge and transform us.
It is. And Vannoy suggests that one of the most effective ways to do that is to engage in this process with others, to study scripture in community, where we can bounce ideas off each other, challenge each other's perspectives, and learn from each other's insights.
That's a great point. It's so easy to get stuck in our own echo chambers, surrounded by people who think just like us. But iron sharpens iron, right? We need those different perspectives to help us see things in new ways.
Exactly. And that's where things get really interesting, because Vannoy suggests that this kind of communal discernment is actually a key part of the prophetic tradition.
Okay, I'm intrigued. How so?
Well, think about it. In ancient Israel, prophets didn't operate in isolation. They were part of a community, and their messages were often challenged, refined through dialogue with others. It wasn't just about one person claiming to have all the answers. It was about a collective pursuit of truth.
So it's like a checks and balances system, helping to ensure that the message is authentic, that it's truly coming from God and not just from someone's own imagination or desires.
Exactly. And that's why Vannoy emphasizes the importance of community in our own pursuit of truth. We need each other to help us test and refine our understanding, to challenge our assumptions, and to hold each other accountable.
This is making me rethink the whole idea of spiritual authority. It's not just about blindly following a leader or accepting everything we hear at face value. It's about engaging in that critical thinking, comparing different sources, and evaluating the evidence for ourselves.
You got it. And that's a skill that's more important than ever in our information-saturated world. We're bombarded with messages from all sides, and it can be so overwhelming to know what to believe. but by developing our own internal compass, our own sense of prophetic consciousness, we can start to navigate that landscape with more confidence and discernment.
I love that, developing our own internal compass. But I have to admit, I'm still wrestling with this idea of modern-day prophets. Vannoy even hints that the Holy Spirit might still be lifting individuals with prophetic insights today. It just seems like such a radical, almost out-there concept.
It is a bold claim. And to be fair, Vannoy acknowledges that there's a lot of debate and skepticism surrounding this topic. But he also reminds us that throughout history, God has raised up individuals to challenge the status quo, to speak truth to power, and to point people back to him.
So it's not necessarily about expecting people to walk around in robes and sandals predicting the future or performing miracles. It's more about recognizing that prophetic insights and messages can emerge in different ways, in different forms, in different contexts.
Yes, and those insights might come from unexpected sources. Artists, activists, writers, everyday people who are attuned to God's voice and willing to speak out against injustice or complacency?
That's actually a really encouraging thought. It means that we can all play a part in carrying on the prophetic legacy, even if we don't have a formal title or position. We can be those prophetic voices in our own spheres of influence.
Precisely. And that's what Vannoy ultimately challenges us to do, to be open to those prophetic whispers, those nudges from the Holy Spirit, those moments of clarity and conviction that might be guiding us towards a deeper understanding of truth and a more authentic expression of faith.
I love that image, those prophetic whispers. It's so subtle, so gentle, yet it can be so powerful in shaping our lives and our actions. This deep dive has been such an eye-opener. Truly, it's challenged my assumptions about prophecy and really inspired me to cultivate a greater sense of discernment and spiritual awareness in my own life.
I'm so glad to hear that. And you know, there's one final point that Vannoy makes that I think is particularly relevant to our conversation. He reminds us that one of the primary functions of prophecy in ancient Israel was to call people back to God, to challenge their complacency, and to point them towards a path of righteousness.
So it's not just about predicting the future or revealing hidden knowledge. It's about prompting people to examine their lives, to make necessary changes, and to align themselves with God's will. Exactly. And that's a function that's just as relevant today as it was back then. We still need those prophetic voices, those who are willing to speak truth to power, to challenge injustice, and to call us back to our higher purpose.
Absolutely. And it makes you wonder, who are the prophetic voices in our time? Who are those individuals or groups who are embodying those prophetic values, who are challenging us to live more authentically, to pursue justice, to make a positive impact on the world? They might not fit the traditional image of a prophet, but their message and their actions resonate with that same spirit of truth and conviction.
It's like we need to be on the lookout for those prophetic sparks, those glimmers of hope and challenge that can ignite our own passions and inspire us to action. This deep dive has been a real game changer. It's not just about ancient history. It's about how we live our lives today, how we engage with the world, how we seek truth, and how we use our voices to make a difference.
Beautifully said. And that brings us back to the heart of Vannoy's message. He encourages us to cultivate our own prophetic consciousness, our own sensitivity to God's voice, and our own willingness to speak truth, even when it's difficult.
It's almost like we're all called to be prophets in our own way, even if it's not in the literal fire and brimstone sense.
Exactly. And that brings us to the practical side of things. If we're all potential carriers of this prophetic spirit, how do we actually cultivate it? How do we know if it's really God speaking to us, or just our own thoughts and desires getting all jumbled up?
That's the tricky part, isn't it? It's so easy to get caught up in our own heads and start thinking we've got all the answers.
It is. And that's where Vannoy brings us back to those grounding principles we talked about earlier. First, testing everything against Scripture, making sure our ideas and impulses align with what God has already revealed. It's like having a reality check, making sure we're not just drifting off into our own little world.
Scripture as our anchor. I like that. It reminds me of that verse, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path."
It's a beautiful image. And the second thing Vannoy emphasizes is the importance of community. We weren't meant to figure this all out in isolation. We need those trusted voices around us, mentors, friends, fellow believers, who can offer wise counsel, challenge our perspectives, and help us discern what's truly from God.
It's like that African proverb, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. We need each other to help us stay on track, to keep us grounded, and to encourage us when the going gets tough.
Absolutely. And that humility, that willingness to be challenged and refined by others, is essential for anyone who wants to cultivate true prophetic discernment.
This is all so helpful, but I have to be honest, I'm still kind of wrestling with this idea of modern-day prophets. It seems like a pretty bold claim, especially in today's world.
It is a bold claim, and Vannoy acknowledges the debate and skepticism surrounding it. But he reminds us that God has a history of raising up unexpected people to do extraordinary things. Throughout history, there have always been those individuals who challenge the status quo, who speak truth to power, who call people back to God. They may not always fit the traditional image of a prophet, but their message and their impact resonate with that same prophetic spirit.
So maybe it's not about looking for people who fit a certain mold, or who claim to have a direct hotline to God. Maybe it's about recognizing that prophetic insights, those moments of clarity and conviction, can emerge from anywhere.
Yes, and they can come from unexpected sources. Artists, musicians, writers, activists, even everyday people who are attuned to God's voice and willing to speak up for what's right, even when it's unpopular.
That's a really encouraging thought. It means that we all have the potential to be part of this prophetic legacy, to make a difference in the world by speaking truth, challenging injustice, and pointing people towards God's love.
Exactly. And Vannoy challenges us to be open to those prophetic whispers, those nudges from the Holy Spirit that might be guiding us towards a deeper understanding of truth and a more authentic expression of faith.
This deep dive has honestly been a game changer for me. It's challenged my preconceived notions about prophecy and inspired me to cultivate a greater sense of discernment and spiritual awareness in my own life.
I'm so glad to hear that. And, you know, Vannoy leaves us with one final thought that I think beautifully encapsulates everything we've talked about. He reminds us that true prophecy, in whatever form it takes, always points people towards Jesus Christ.
Ah, so it's not just about delivering a message or making predictions or even calling out injustice. It's ultimately about connecting people to the source of truth and salvation, to the one who embodies God's love and offers hope to a broken world.
Beautifully said. And on that note, I think it's time to wrap up this deep dive.
This has been an incredible conversation. It's like we've gone on a journey through ancient prophecy and discovered its enduring relevance for our modern lives.
I agree. And I think it's fitting to leave our listeners with a question to ponder: how might you be a carrier of that prophetic spirit in your own life? How might you challenge complacency, speak truth to power, and point others towards the hope that we have in Christ?
That's a powerful question. And until next time, keep diving deep and keep seeking truth. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.